Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
Welcome along to our Christmas special.
the music's kind of throwing
silence.
Me off.
It's like, what's going on?
All right, so joining us in the studio.
Alex.
And Daniel.
And that's it, me.
We got a small crew.
Right, we do.
And then there were three.
Right. So we got a lot to talk about.
Two sets of games, right?
Yeah. We got a special 90-minute show. Coming around about 7 o'clock, we will have a special guest. David Deaton from Roma's Cafe should be joining us.
Nice.
Nice.
Looking forward to it.
All right. You even got your headphones on.
I'm not prepped. I literally just walked in the door.
Yeah, because he literally just walked in
never
the door.
Ready. Never ready. All right. So, so let's go. Oh, my goodness. We'll have to get our thinking caps on here. Let's go all the way back to Tuesday. All right, Tuesday the 12th. Oh, it feels so long. Can you believe it? Last Sunday was the derby.
I know.
And it's been, including last Sunday, that's three games. That's crazy.
And of course, there's been a big game between Spurs and City since then.
I know.
It seems like a lifetime ago.
I had no time to really revel in the victory over at the Derby. So.
Hashtag team
The good news for you is you have plenty of time to revel over the other victories as well.
They're going
to
come inevitably.
We'll talk about that later.
All right, so the first game was Crystal Palace versus Watford. And actually, surprisingly, Crystal Palace, they are doing pretty well.
As we've said numerous times, if Palace is on TV, turn it on. If you have gold, turn it on. And if you can't turn it on right away, you can definitely, in the last 15 minutes, you should definitely turn it on.
Palace have a knack for being just unbelievably just to the point. Like, they wait to the last second to get it done, but they get it done. And that's what they've been doing the last few weeks.
Yeah.
It's really impressive what they've done. I mean, they were down, they were down 1-0 for a majority of the game. Yep. Tom cleverly gets a red card, yellow.
Yep.
And this man is off, and then this is like the 87th minute that happens?
Yeah, 85th or something like that, yeah.
And then what? Two goals later, all of a sudden it's a completely different game.
Yeah, it's crazy the way these Palace games go. If you're a Palace fan, I guess it's a love it or hate it type thing. You're on the edge of your seat the entire game. But, man, I mean, that was an insane last, 10 minutes of action.
And let's not forget, really, what Watford have accomplished over this year. I mean, they've been one of the surprise teams. If it wasn't for Burnley doing what they're doing, we'd be saying they are the surprise team. So, Watford have been really impressive this year. And, they went up. Jan Mott got the first goal on a nice cross from Richarlison. And, man, and then, of course, which is their theme now, someone gets a red, and then things just fall apart,
yeah. And interestingly, Watford, I heard this statistic, Watford hasn't won back-to-back matches this season. So it was one of the reasons why a lot of people, some of the pundits were picking Palace coming into the game just because Watford doesn't win back-to-back.
Yeah, I know. But Watford, like you guys were all saying, they were punching above their weight. I mean, it was only, a month ago that everyone was after...
Silva.
Yeah.
Marco Silva, yeah.
For Everton.
And, I mean, people are still going to be after him, but because they're still, I mean, they're still punching above their weight.
Yeah, I would still, if you're a club looking for a top manager, maybe not top, but, someone that's going to bridge the gap maybe to get you to that next level... Silva is one of those guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially for the other Premier League teams where maybe you're not going to be in the market for a big fish like Ancelotti. Silva is that guy that, you know, he's the darling right now that looks like he could be the guy. And Sean Dyche is going to be in that conversation, if not already, very shortly, because those are, you know, at Burnley, because those are the guys right now that are getting impressive results with squads that, you know, don't jump off the page at anyone.
Yeah, and I think that we've got to talk about Zaha in this game. He had an impressive game. He was mostly held quiet until late, but he was the one that kind of set up both goals that Crystal Palace had, which he seems to be the focal point of that offense, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
And so Zaha had a really nice shot from the top of the left side of the box, going to the right post. Gomez saves it. Gomez is a pretty solid keeper. Rebound comes to Sacco. Oh, wait, that rebound goes right into Gomez again, and then he gets another nibble on it, and it's like, wow. And really, I don't think Sacco knew anything about that second one. I think the rebound came into his leg, and then it basically just came right off him.
It's not
like he made a kicking motion.
No, he didn't. It just kind of hit him again.
But he gets credit for the goal, Sacco, and then Zaha again creates the cross that comes over for MacArthur to get the winner in stoppage time. It really was dramatic stuff. If you were watching this game, you would say Watford had it in the bag for basically the entire game, and then all of a sudden Tom Cleverley gets that red card, and the
Everything
3 points
changes.
Are going another direction.
Yep. I mean, as a neutral, that was an incredible game. For neutrals, yeah, definitely. That's what you want to see. And we've said this all season. You know, those matchups between teams, you know, in the middle of the table there, I mean, Palace obviously is clawing for their lives, and they, you know, now that they're out of the relegation zone, but those matches are really good matches. A lot of them is some really exciting football.
Right. I agree. All right, so the next game was Huddersfield versus Chelsea. So Chelsea on fire again.
Chelsea on fire, 3-1 Chelsea in this one. It looked like Huddersfield never really had a chance.
It wasn't even as close as 3-1.
Which sounds like a pretty decent scoreline in the end. But really, it was 3-0, and then they got one back late.
Yeah, they got a consolation goal.
And Bakayoko had one of his better games. He had the first goal, assist by Willian there. And then Willian, he gets a header on a nice cross from Alonso for the second. Pedro then gets the third with an assist from Willian, crossing from Alonso. That was laid off from Pedro to Willian, and then, you know, into the back of the net it goes for Pedro. You know, Chelsea, when they're on their day, they are really impressive. And, you know, they are the defending champions. It's almost like we're talking about how, wait, the derby was last week. It's also like, wait, Chelsea won last year. It seems like Man City have been dominating for so long that you almost forget who won last year. And Chelsea are the returning champions and ones to be reckoned with.
Exactly. I mean, you forget just how much firepower that team has when everyone's attention is on City. And we said before, go ahead.
And I think it highlights the thing that jumps out, and we'll talk about City later, but the thing that jumps out to me about City is their consistency from week to week, regardless of opponent. I mean, they get results every single week playing the same way. Whereas teams like Chelsea and Liverpool, who we're talking about later, they tend to be up and down, up and down, up and down. So,
but I mean, let's remember though, with the string that City have been on, they had to surpass the Chelsea win streak that was from last year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Chelsea, they weren't winning in 4-0 fashion and things like that, which is what City are doing this year. Chelsea were winning 1-0. They'd eke it out at the end. There'd be like a late goal. I'm not saying all the games were like that, but Chelsea didn't have nearly the firepower and the goals for that City have this year. I mean, what they're doing is extremely impressive.
It is, yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. No more on that game then?
No, there's so many games to talk about. We've got, 18 more games to talk about.
All right, so the thing about the next game, it was Burnley versus Stoke. And everyone was saying, can Stoke go to play on a wet Wednesday in Burnley?
Park, yeah, right.
It's like the irony is just dripping with it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like,
totally.
This is the thing they always said about Stoke. I mean, but Stoke, I mean, this isn't the Stoke of yesteryear.
Man.
What has happened to Stoke?
I don't know, but it's bad. I mean, they're starting to lose their supporters, which is an issue. I've been listening to, you know, the full-time phone-in on TalkSport there. And, you know, these are people, obviously, it's in England, so these are people, English fans, and the Stoke supporters are just despondent. I mean, they are like, I mean, you know, you got people talking about it's the worst team. You know, I've been following Stoke for 25 years. It's the worst team I've ever seen. Like, they're down on Stoke. And they just don't have any firepower. Like, they just have... they can't score.
I mean, when the focus of your offense is Peter Crouch, you've got problems.
You're in trouble. Yeah,
you've got major problems.
40?
Well, but they had that.
Maybe even more than that. He may be 50.
They had that signing in the off season. He's Egyptian, or he's from North Africa somewhere. I forget. I think, and he was good at the beginning of the season, and then it has disappeared. And you know, there's talk now of the system and people playing out of position. And you know, I think that they're grasping as a squad. They're grasping for anything that will yield some sort of positive results, because right now it just ain't happening. Like, it's not coming.
Yeah, and Burnley continue their good run of form. I mean, this game, this win put them into the top four.
Yep.
Which,
that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you know anything about Burnley, they're tiny. Look at the stadium that they play in. It's absolutely minuscule.
I mean, I would say forget Silva. Everyone's going to be talking about Sean Dyche.
And
exactly.
They are.
That's what I said before. Yeah, I mean, Sean Dyche is going to be in that conversation of, you know, Premier League manager that will be looked at by the Evertons of the league. You know, teams that need something to, you know, to offer a spark, and they want to make a coaching change.
Exactly.
And so yeah, I mean, this one was I would say this was not the greatest of games. If you were watching it,
yes, not, I mean, pretty football.
I caught the highlights. Thank gosh, I only caught the highlights and didn't see the game, because I was watching the highlights and I almost fell asleep watching the highlights. This one was not pretty. There were more chances in the game actually than you would think. But really, in the end, a lot of them were pretty tame.
Right, like. I mean, a chance is technically anything that could potentially go into the net. So, some of them, I mean, they're all chances, but some of them are like,
And in the end, you could argue that Stoke actually had more chances than Burnley, which is the crazy thing.
They didn't have anybody to finish.
Well, and that was the thing. There was one play in particular that really showed that. It was like there was a cross in, and it goes to the far post, and then it's kind of like... Tarkowski like completely missed it, and then Crouch is there right at the back post, and it's like, oh, just tap it in. The goalie's there. And,
wah wah.
Yeah, sorry. And Stoke once again cannot get the ball in the back of the net. It's like, if Shaqiri's not scoring, who's scoring for this team?
Nobody. Nobody. They don't. I mean, nobody. Currently, there's nothing.
And there's not. I mean, it's Shaqiri, and then it's Crouch, and then it's a lot of people that you're scratching your head, googling, and you're like, who's this guy?
Yes.
Who's this guy? I'm not really familiar with him. Maybe he's that Egyptian guy from, or whatever, that you were talking about.
Yeah, I can't, like, you know, it's just, Stoke is in, they are the mayors of Struggle City right now, and they're sliding down the table.
Right.
And you guys were saying that, the call-ins, they're getting pretty bad for Stoke. And
then
you're saying the fan base.
We'll talk about the game on the weekend. I mean, fans were flooding out of the Bet365, or whatever that stadium's called.
All right, guys, don't forget, you can check us out on Twitter. We're actually running two polls right now. And also, we are going live streaming. So, check us out. We're live. All our beautiful faces are up. Do drop us a question.
We tweet that link, because we need to share that.
Of course.
Really, Daniel just wants to show the world his bow tie.
I know. I came with my Christmas bow tie, so...
Hey, listen, I got my jumper on.
I know. He's got... Yeah, Andy,
no one
has
knows what a jumper is here.
A sweater.
A sweater.
please do join us live streaming on our Twitter page, which is BOTBsoccer. On our polls right now, we have... Can Manchester City continue to go on their unbeaten form? And kind of tying in with that, as Manchester City are now so far out,
is the question,
is the title race over?
What I was going to say, is the question on that one that they're going to become the Arsenal Invincibles and not lose? Is that what the question is for that one?
I don't Yeah, I suppose. But here's the thing: I actually heard somebody on. I can't for the life of me remember who it was, but a pundit was talking about whether Manchester City, if they faced the Invincibles, the Arsenal team, who would win? Who's better?
These discussions drive me nuts because, like, you can't. All this is so that you can generate phone calls to radio stations because, like that's never going to happen.
Right? Exactly.
Like it's never going. Like we can't do that. It's not. The thing that bugs me is. I wish that we could learn just to appreciate the performances and not have to always compare it to other things and, like, knock stuff down.
Last season was better than this season.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like, let's just appreciate what we have going on in the Premier League right now. Now it's easy for me to say I'm a City supporter.
Yeah, let's go back.
But still, I mean, I appreciate those classic United teams. There was just a quote from Rooney about how, you know, he kind of said that the 2008 United team was better. I mean, that was an amazing team, too. Like, we can have more than one amazing team.
Of course.
I think that's what it is. It's all about, like, that upper tier of teams. And if you can get yourself in that upper team, and then you're in that conversation of best ever, whatever, whatever. Obviously, City's got to finish the deal here. Let's not count the chickens too early. City have got another, what is it, like 22 games left or whatever? No, 20 games, because I guess we're just...
21.
21, because this is
what... we're one short of halfway.
That's right.
I mean, 20, you're right. There's 19, there's 38 games, 19. We just finished round 19.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we're talking about week 17 right now.
Right, yeah.
And round 18 was this weekend, meaning 20 games left.
Too many games coming too fast.
And this is the best time of the year... If you're a Premier League fan, there's more games in a shorter, condensed period. The games are on almost every day when you get a little closer to the holiday season. You're going to hear conversations about away fans and whether or not they're getting the respect they should because their games, what Arsenal has to go somewhere, like Newcastle, I forget what it is.
Yeah.
They got to go to like, I forget where it is, but they're playing on Christmas Eve. Maybe it's Newcastle. Oh, no, sorry, Liverpool.
New Year's Eve? I thought it was...
Oh, not New Year's, Christmas Eve. Sorry, Christmas Eve.
Really?
Yeah.
Usually the traditional time is Boxing Day, which is the day after Christmas.
Well, they have a special game this year on Christmas Eve.
Well, yeah, because the FA cares not one bit about people's holiday schedules or player safety or whatever.
Did you hear about...
They're just like, cram the games in.
Well, there's TV money.
Play.
TV money, right?
Oh, yeah,
that's
what it is, yeah.
The big thing is with, I think it's the 19th of May, the Royal Wedding.
I know. Yeah, you mentioned that.
That competes with not only the Scottish Cup, but the FA Cup. And, of course, if you're not from the UK, the FA Cup is our Super Bowl. From, like, 9 a.m., everyone's up.
Yep.
They do the commentary.
It's
with
the national
special
championship.
Team. Right.
Yeah.
So, and Prince William has to be there because he's the head
of supposed to be there.
He's probably going to sneak. I mean, you can't really say to your brother, sorry.
I have to
go watch a football game.
Can't go to the wedding. Sorry.
All right. Moving on. An interesting point where you're talking about, you know, teams comparing. As a United fan, and I've heard other people talk about this, it is difficult to take. Because you're
I can understand that.
But beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
And you we were talking about, you know, sometimes disrespectful Mourinho and in the dressing room, obviously Milkgate come out. But the United fans, they clapped.
I mean, you know, that's the thing is, you know, football supporters recognize beautiful football when they see it.
Exactly. And talking about beautiful football, well, Swansea versus Manchester City was the next game. Really no outcome other than a win for City.
I thought that this was the match where if they were going to get
complacent.
Yeah, exactly. And they rotated the squad in a big
Swansea,
way.
Yeah, but Swansea, come on.
Yeah, I know. But you just, this is one of the things that you
on
look
the road,
at the schedule
mid-week.
And you're like, this is a trap game. Like, this is a trap
game.
Yeah,
literally, it's between... Your biggest rival,
and then
Tottenham. You know?
Yeah, and then probably the team that after United you're definitely concerned with. And but they came to play. I mean, it was just domination. I mean, City is just something. It's interesting because they're beating teams regardless of the opponent's tactics. To me, that's the thing that's most impressive. Is, you know, if teams want to park the bus, fine. We'll have 80% possession and wait until the last 5 minutes if we have to, and we'll score. If we have to come from behind, fine. But if you let City score that first early goal, that first goal, like they did in this game, and the floodgates can just open. Because once a team like Swansea has to start chasing a goal, they're done.
And Swansea have not been playing very well of late.
No, they're probably going to get relegated.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I think you can sum up the Swansea season in that first goal where somehow David Silva gets the goal. There's a cross in. He's in between two of their defenders. For some reason, they decide not to get him. And David Silva is at, like, the six-yard box, and he doesn't even need to jump and head it. He can dink it in with his foot.
Yeah.
The Swansea defenders literally didn't move.
Yeah, and he kind of, I don't know what you would call what he did with his foot, like backwards footed it, and it was, they just didn't, nobody covered him. Mm. Like, I mean, Silva's just running through the box.
And everyone's looking at each other saying, you're on it, right? No, it's me.
All right, guys, we will be right back. All right, we're back. So we're talking about City and their dominance.
And if you want to watch us, we are live streaming this video on our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer, or at BOTB Soccer. And this is the type of thing that you get to see if you watch, is that Alex almost got locked in the studio here.
It's true.
Because the door handle is broken.
If you pull the door handle, which is how you open the door, you know, go in that direction, the whole handle literally just came
falls off.
We were all, we're locked in the studio.
It's like,
yeah, pay attention to the feed. We might need someone to come let us out later.
Anyone got a spanner? Put it up in the poll question. Anyone got a spanner?
That's a wrench where we come from.
A wrench. Yeah,
that's a true, wrench.
Yes. Okay,
a wrench.
Yes.
Okay, smarty pants.
All right, yeah, so we were talking about City. I mean, there's not much more to talk about in City Swansea other than, again, domination. And the fact that it just shows the depth of the squad. I mean, you know, they rotate the squad. Aguero starts the game on the bench. And, you know, the depth of that squad, it just seems like whoever they put in, they just continue to roll.
But I do think it's good to talk about in this game is David Silva. We spoke about him earlier.
Yes.
He had the second. He had the third goal. His stats. One of you guys sent it around earlier in the week. Go ahead.
I think it was Christian. I don't remember what it was now. Christian had all the stats, and he's not here. But
basically the short version of it is that David Silva has done more this year than he has done last year, and obviously we're not even halfway through the season.
Right. Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. His goals and assists. Now, so here's the other crazy David Silva statistic. In his career in the Premier League, David Silva has never won Player of the Month in his Premier League career. Like, that's crazy.
Well, I think that's the key is because it's his production. He's like a Luka Modric kind of player. He doesn't get the assist that scores the goal.
Yeah, he's the assist.
Yeah,
he's the hockey assist guy.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
And so,
that's
like,
a good point.
You get lost in the numbers, and you look at the guy that's got X number of goals or this and that.
One of my favorite. I don't know if here's the thing. I don't care if you're a City supporter or not. You need to follow Benjamin Mendy on Twitter. He's like the best Twitter follow in all of professional football. And so he had this tweet after the Swansea game. He was like, you know, David Silva should have been bald forever, you know, because of his stats this year. Again, he's way outperforming himself even last season.
And of course, the bald thing is going back to Pep himself. He basically looks like Pep Jr. now.
Yeah, he does. I just think it's weird.
It's like mini Pep.
So if you're watching on Twitter, I mean, I shave my head, but that's because I'm losing my hair. Like, David Silva has this amazing head of hair that he just shaves.
And you're just totally jealous. I mean, clearly.
I just think it's weird. Like, why would you want to look like me? I don't get it.
I've shaved my hair off.
I think it's fabulous.
Fabulous.
But also, the other thing that we got to talk about is Sergio Aguero. Doesn't he get the all-time Manchester City goals for?
He broke the all-time club record. This was a month ago now.
No. I thought that was in that game.
No. He broke it before in the Carabao Cup game.
But then maybe this was the Premier League one, then the most goals?
Maybe. I don't know. Aguero Kun is going to go down as, you know, the greatest striker in Manchester City history. I mean, they'll build a statue for him one day.
Okay, which is strange because, like, Pep almost was trying to get him out of the door just last year for some reason.
I don't think he will. I think that I think what Pep did was motivate him, which was good. Because what the thing that Pep needed was Atletico Madrid Aguero, not Pellegrini Mancini Aguero. Like, Pellegrini especially had kind of, he didn't quite turn him into a target striker. However, it was pretty close. It was just like, every, you know, Aguero, you know, get Aguero near the box and send him service. And Pep needed him to do work, and now he does work.
And I saw that Sergio Aguero in person of years ago when he played with Diego Forlan with Atletico Madrid in this crazy game against Barcelona, which was, and it was probably the best game of the year. It was total luck. It ended up being 4-2 Atletico. Both Diego Forlan and Sergio Aguero had two goals each. It was a cracker of a goal. Even Thierry Henry got in the action there. But we don't need to relive that. That was probably like 15 years ago now.
We'll talk about City again, though. Southampton versus Leicester City was a nice game. Leicester City.
Yes, that was another good game.
Crushed Southampton.
Yeah.
Southampton won, Leicester City four.
And then Leicester City turned around and stubbed their toe this weekend.
Right.
That's the great thing about, I mean, that's the amazing thing. Again, I keep saying that, I mean, not to talk about City more, but they.
All right,
the,
all right.
It's the consistency.
You can't keep on doing this.
The city gushing.
There's other teams
but
that we need
I'm
to talk
saying,
about.
Like,
somebody take those love. Take the city sunglasses off of
that. Just when we think.
The light blue sunglasses looking everything through.
Right, looking everything through like sky blue sunglasses.
Sky blue, sorry, yeah.
I mean, it's the consistency that they've played with compared to the other teams. Other teams are, you know, like Leicester City looks amazing against Southampton, and then not so much, you know, on this weekend. Now, Southampton just looks bad in general. They're not. That's another team, sort of like Stoke, where, like, in previous years, they were one of those teams that you'd watch and be like, all right, they're an up-and-comer, they're an up-and-comer. And this year, it's just, it's falling apart again.
Yeah, but but we got to talk about this game, though, a little bit more. Let's give some love to Leicester here.
Oh, definitely.
What Claude Puel has done with these guys, he's changed them completely. And if you remember, just not too long ago, Leicester was in shambles at the beginning of the season. And this is their third manager in two
seasons.
Really one and a half seasons.
Right. Yeah, one and a half. Correct.
And what Claude Puel has done, he's starting to get a lot of press nowadays saying like this guy has like brought them back to the Leicester of, was it 2 years ago now, I guess?
Right, 2 years ago now.
Yeah, because
I don't know if they're there yet.
No. I mean, no one's saying that Leicester is better than Man City.
Oh, no. I'm just saying from a cohesion standpoint. Like, they're definitely, Leicester has definitely been looking better recently.
But I think the best part about it is Puel used to be the manager for Southampton.
Oh,
and then
that's
he,
right.
And then
yes,
he comes
was. That's
in
right. yeah.
there
mm-hmm.
and he just dominates them with the new squad. And I think I thought it was incredibly ironic just watching the whole thing happen. I mean, Mahrez, it seems like he's been semi revitalized to be the guy of 2 years ago. Mahrez
had
a nice goal from distance. Okazaki had two goals in this game.
Yep.
The last one was really nice on a pass from Vardy. You know, Yoshida got the one to bring it back for Southampton.
I mean, Leicester was clicking. I mean, they were clicking on all six cylinders. And that's a squad where, like...
Is that what people say, on all six?
Six, four, eight.
I think they just say on all cylinders.
I mean, I think they're a V6, so...
They're not an inline six, they're
a
V6.
They're
a V6. We got to get very technical.
Yeah, well, yeah. So,
not a G6.
He's dabbing right now.
Wow,
he's dabbing.
Wow.
G6.
Please.
I'll encourage everyone to go to BOTB Soccer and watch the live feed. And when that squad clicks, they can be impressive. I mean, they can do that. They can, you know, they're the type of team that they start getting in that flow and they have that confidence and they can be impressive.
Exactly. But the thing that I would say is that I most fear Leicester when they're at home. This was a game on the road, which has made it really impressive, the fact that they were so dominant. So
right.
good on Leicester to really... kind of turn things around, and poor Southampton. They are not looking good right now at all. They are dropping in the table.
Like a stone.
Oh man,
and Stoke, they're like racing to the bottom.
But Southampton, all things considered, they're still 12th right now. But they have not had the kind of season you would expect out of them. Only four wins.
Right.
I think that really this is more about just the clumping that's happening at the bottom of the table. At this point, they have 18 points. That's not a very good total at this point. But there's seven teams below them, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, there's a lot of congestion in the bottom half of the table. Yeah,
you go on a run of losing a game here or there, or you win a couple games in a row?
Oh, you can drop four or five positions. You can drop 2 points and drop four positions.
Well, look
right
at
now.
Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace have won a few games in a row, and all of a sudden now they're 14th.
Yep.
It's the same idea.
Yep.
All right, guys, you're listening to Blokes on the Bench, a special 90-minute show tonight. If you want to get in contact with us, 434-284-9470. Give us a call. We'd love to take your questions. We are on Twitter. We're also live on Twitter right now on Periscope, so please do check out our live stream. And we do have two polls up.
Yeah, so currently, the first poll we've got, as Manchester City are now so far in front, is the title race over? We've got four votes, and that's 100% yes from everybody that's voted. the other poll is, can Manchester City continue their unbeaten form? We didn't say how long can they continue.
I think it's
got to
be the whole season. I think the question is, could they
be invincible? I guess is the way we would frame it. And it's 50-50 right now.
We didn't say it last week, but City lost their first competitive game of the year.
Correct. Yeah, against Shakhtar.
Champions League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they fielded a C team.
Yeah, exactly.
For them.
And a game that meant nothing, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not trying to say that was like, oh, that's proof that Man City's not any good. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
I think what is impressive about it is that it happened in December, and who's thinking they're going to lose anytime soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see a loss until maybe... I was looking at the schedule the other day. I mean, again, you run into these trap games, but like the thing is there's no Champions League until we get to February, so they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but there is FA Cup and all that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They come up soon, right. All right, so the next game was Newcastle versus Everton. Everton beat them 1-0 with the Rooney goal. Is Rooney back in form? Is Everton kind of in the clear now? Is that kind of...
I don't know that you can say in the clear, but they look a lot better.
I mean, they're
in the top.
They're in the top half of the table now. They're 10th. Granted, I'm adding in the next week's, basically this weekend's results as well.
Yeah.
I think Everton have done an impressive job of being on the brink of being
disaster.
In the relegation zone.
I called them a dumpster fire a couple weeks ago.
And they were.
Yeah, they were.
They legitimately were.
And then Big Sam came with his fire hose and put it out.
There you go. I like the analogies.
It's crazy you say that, because that was only a few weeks ago.
Right.
Yet
it was
six games ago.
Right. Yeah, because of all these games. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So Newcastle, I heard this
they're
week
in trouble
that
too.
Mike Ashley is going to sell to, I've forgotten her name, Amanda Staveley.
Right.
And she's now putting in this deal that if they go down, she's going to basically get back pay or some type of reimbursement
for going down.
That's smart.
That is, yeah, on her part, that's smart. Well, I mean, remember the coach. Who's the coach there now?
Benitez,
thank you. Benitez, he had that in his contract when he you know, took them on, that if they went down, he could leave, and they did, and he didn't. He stayed, and he brought him back up. And, you know,
so of a good manager right there.
Right, and he brought him back up, but now he's not happy because, you know, they're not spending money, and they've got, you know, he wants to renovate that squad, and it's not happening.
Well, I think the biggest problem is they're going through a middle of a sale right now. We're talking about
it's hard.
Okay, so if you're Mike Ashley, are you going to give him a transfer kitty of 20 million euros, pounds, dollars, whatever?
Right.
No, you're not going to give him anything because you're about to sell the club.
Yep.
So then it's almost like they're dependent on the sale going through, which I would think that this new person would want to give them money so they stay up.
Right.
And you know, they're not in the championship next year and lose millions and millions of dollars. And so it's almost like whether or not Benitez is happy depends on this sale and when the transaction completes.
That's the whole thing. Is it going to be done with enough time in the window to fix things or what? Because that, from the other side, like you're saying, I mean, you're not going to, if you're selling the club, there's no incentive to spend money on transfers.
No, and Newcastle are in a free fall right now. They've lost, of their last eight games.
They are also not scoring goals.
They've lost seven of their last eight games, and a draw is the other one.
Right. Yep.
Meanwhile, Everton have collected 10 points in their last four games. Which is, and previously in all the other games that they had all season, they only had 12 in nine games. So, basically, because they weren't doing anything, that's why they were so low.
Yeah.
And also for Everton, this is the first time that they in 16 away games that they got to win. So really? It's been a while.
So the next game was West Ham versus Arsenal. It was a draw, and Mark's not here, so let's just all laugh at Arsenal.
You know, this was a real opportunity because Burnley had gone up to fourth place the previous day.
Yep.
And not as though you knew this at the time, and we'll get there, Liverpool drew.
Right.
And so Arsenal could have moved in the top four and secured that spot that Leicester had going into the week, and then Arsenal fall on their face, and they do this. I mean, this was a bad one for Arsenal.
And again, West Ham, the David Moyes effect. I understand that there's a bump. Every team experiences some kind of bump when you hire a new coach because, you know, the atmosphere in the club changes, in the dressing room, everything changes. Tactics can change. But again, they're getting results. I mean, this is a great point if you're West Ham. Like,
yeah, especially coming off the Chelsea game as well.
Right, exactly.
Beating Chelsea, I mean.
Right, I mean, they had Chelsea and Arsenal back-to-back, and there was no one that's like, they'll get 4 points out of that.
West Ham couldn't have beaten Kidderminster Town, you know, like a month ago.
That's true. They were dire.
Right.
But I think that if you're a true West Ham fan, you're leaving that game saying, we drop points. Chicharito hit the underside of the bar.
Yeah, that's true. He
pretty
did,
late
yeah.
in the game. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, that should have been a goal. If I'm a supporter, I'd be disappointed with the result. It was at home. I mean, I thought it was actually a pretty good game for being 0-0. There were chances left and right. I do want to say one thing. So Wilshere, who's Mark's boy.
Yep,
Mark's boyfriend.
Gets a start.
Plays 90 minutes.
Good for him. Plays 90 minutes.
Yep.
But man, he blew a beautiful chance that Giroud made for him. He headed it down to him. And then he just skied it over the bar.
Yeah.
And you know what? We'll be coming back to that again because he did the same thing. Just what, Saturday. So this Wilshere's got a chance to really claim his spot in the Arsenal squad right now, and he's got to take advantage of that. So we'll see if he actually can.
Yeah.
So next game was Spurs versus Brighton.
Well, Alex, to you.
If you saw the squad that Brighton put up, it was clear they were not going for points. They basically gave up on this one. They didn't play so many of their players. They didn't play their captain Bruno. They didn't play Murray. They were players that they hadn't played all year that were coming in because one dude that was like had a broken leg that was back in. This one was a game that Spurs should have pulled a Stoke essentially and just like lit them apart.
Yeah, it's ripped them up. Yeah,
and in the end, it wasn't as easy as it was on paper. I mean, the first goal was like a cross from Aurier where he got fouled, and I've never seen this before.
I know that was crazy.
Never seen this before. He got fouled,
right?
And which means he doesn't kick the ball the way he wants to kick it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's in the back of the net, just on this crazy, like, over the goalie. It was the perfect shot. I mean,
it was weird. It looked like when he gets fouled and he kicks it, he hits it with his foot. I guess he didn't really intend. I mean, it was weird. And you think it's going out of bounds, and all of a sudden, it's in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really impressive goal, not because of any skill, but because of the coincidences.
Yes, right.
And I've never seen anything like that before.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I, you know, in this one, Lamella got his first start since October 2015. Kane was coming in with 50 goals for club and country. I mean, I think that there's a lot of stuff that's going right for Spurs coming into this game. But no one's going to remember that after what happened against City this weekend.
Right.
And so we can just move on. I will say this, that Son got another goal. He's been on a great run of form for them. There's more analysis that I can give, but I'm gonna hold off on that because I want to move on.
Right. All right, so let's move on then. Man United versus Bournemouth, and Lukaku getting on the score sheet again.
And no celebration.
No, that wasn't.
No, that was today.
That was today.
No, in that game too, he didn't celebrate.
Really?
Oh, was it?
They didn't make a big fuss out of it, though. It was this game.
Well,
it was today when they asked Mourinho about it.
Well, he didn't celebrate in either one. I think, why not?
Oh, is that what it was? I don't know.
But it does, this is the thing. I love the fact he's scoring again.
Yep.
However, it does lend itself to this idea that everyone's kind of circulating that he only scores against lower level competition.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where like he's getting results that build a negative reputation, which is weird.
Right, no, but is that is it all his fault? Because you can only play what you're given. And if you're stuck up there by yourself, like if you look at the City game from last week, he was like, he was in no man's land when everyone else
most
was in
of the time. Yeah,
you can't. What are you going to just throw balls up there and hope that one of them gets them? I mean, it's almost impossible.
I thought it was good to see him on the score sheet from the result of the Derby, just because you know it was his defense that got United in trouble in the Derby, and you know you could say led to the goals for City, and that's the type of game that can really get in a player's head, and obviously it didn't for him, which I think is a good sign for United supporters.
I would argue that it did get in his head, because why else is he acting this way after he scores? Because every
do you
other
think he's doing it
that
to like,
could I think I mean he's that's been an interesting point. Fans, like, that's an interesting point.
No, I know. I don't think it's the fans. I think it's the critics, because it's in the media in England.
Oh, they're killing him.
They are self-loathing. They don't want anyone to ever succeed. Anyone that's it's unbelievable.
Right. English
to
football
be,
media.
That's why you should be worried about Kane. You know, they put him on a pedestal, but they only do it because they want to kick him out.
And it's crazy. I don't understand why the English media is this way, but they've been
Sterling.
This way for years. They just want
example.
Really what they want is the headline.
Tabloid.
Yes, correct. Yeah, they want people to buy papers.
Yeah, which is understandable. You know, we're all trying to make money and all that. But at the same time. They're anti-England sometimes when they do this. So,
all right, guys, we'll be right back. The time is now 6:40. All right, guys, welcome back to our Christmas special, a 90-minute-long special for all your Premier League joy.
I hear reindeer.
You hear reindeer? I hear jingles. Do reindeer make the jingles?
I think so. That's them like running with the balls
okay.
on them.
Yeah. I gotcha. All right, turn that off. All right. Enough, okay? Enough of the Christmas spirit. I'm already wearing my woolly, awful Manchester United ugly sweater. All right. Liverpool. The next game, Liverpool versus West Brom.
Liverpool really had a chance here to make up for what Arsenal did and stay in the top four place. And West Brom have not been playing well. I mean, sure, they've had a little bit of bump since the new manager.
Yeah.
But this was one that you would think that Liverpool would have just dominated them.
Exactly.
And it was at home. It's like, this is the classic Liverpool. You have everything going your way.
And then you slip.
Exactly. It was sad. I mean, there were chances like left and right that happened in this game. And there was even a disallowed goal for a Liverpool guy, that Solanke guy. But, I mean, ultimately, you know, it was a poor performance. I thought
it was especially because I mean West Brom had to play Liverpool, and then they were looking at playing Man United on the weekend. So you know, really, Liverpool should have put them to the sword, so to speak, and they did not. I mean, it's just like you're saying, it's a consistency thing. Like you have to be able to take points off of the teams you're supposed to take points off of.
Yeah, and I would give credit to Pardew here. I thought he had a really good tactics coming in. Granted, they weren't the most easy on the eyes, I would say.
Well, of course
because
not.
It was a lot of bus parking that was happening. but I mean, like, you know what's crazy is, like, this is only the fifth time that Liverpool haven't scored with Klopp. Mm. I mean, like
that's
this
a good stat.
This is not the kind of thing that normally happens to Liverpool. If they're going to draw, it's going to be like 5-5.
Right,
you know?
Yeah,
it's
3-3.
Like,
yeah.
They're going to show how poor they are at defense,
right.
And they're going to show their attacking prowess. But no, it's 0-0. It was really disappointing if you're a Liverpool fan here.
Definitely.
This is not positive, especially
not
after the draw to Everton.
All right, guys, so moving on, we have Leicester City. So we're going to Saturday. We're in this weekend.
Yeah, now we're back at the weekend.
Yay! All right, so Leicester versus Crystal Palace. And Palace beat them 3-0.
And this is the early game.
Right,
it's like
we
you
talked about
wake
Leicester,
up.
And here we go.
And we I think, again...
Yeah, this was like a 6 a.m. start here in the United
this
States.
This is, again, it's like, okay, time to watch Crystal Palace. Tune in.
Yep.
This is a good game, and it was a good game.
Crystal Palace delivers every single weekend.
If you're looking for a team to watch, it's Crystal Palace. Because they let it in on both ends. Granted, not as much recently. I think they've now had 3 straight games where they've had a clean sheet. And so Crystal Palace are really turning it around on the defensive end, and then you get Benteke having arguably his best game this season
in a Palace shirt. Yep.
Yeah, because he had the header, and then he had the assist to Zaha.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then what? Didn't he get like another yellow, and then now he's suspended for another game?
Right. Yeah, I think he's on yellow card accumulation now.
Yeah, because that's what it is. What if you get 5 yellow cards before the midway
halfway
point?
Yeah.
Then you are suspended for one game. If you get 10, then you're suspended for multiple games. But it clears off, the 10 number will be in play later this year,
right.
So like in the second half. So, yeah.
So are Crystal Palace in the drop, or are they good? Is it too early to tell? Or?
Well, I mean, they're not right now. I mean, if you look at where, I said it earlier, Crystal Palace are 14th with 17 points. They have enough talent to stay up. They should stay
correct
up.
Correct, right. Yes. They have that's the thing. They have the talent if, you know, you can get the results. They have the squad that should be able to stay up.
Right.
Exactly. Right. And so one last point. I said last time that Leicester are the team that you should fear when they're at home. This was a home game for Leicester.
Yep.
They really fell on their face in this one. I was disappointed with Leicester's performance.
All right, so moving on. So we have, doesn't get any better for Watford, I'm afraid. They play Huddersfield at home at Watford, and they got beat 4-1.
Well, I think, again, we got to talk about the red card, because this is the third game in a row that they had a red card. And that was Deeney, your boy, just with an absolute horrible shocker tackle.
Yeah.
But honestly, you could argue it was already over by then, because that was like in the 30-somethingth minute, and Huddersfield had already scored two goals.
Yeah, I was going to say it was 2-0 by that point, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Huddersfield were up. Huddersfield were looking really good.
That was just a nail in the coffin.
And Huddersfield were on the road. This is not what Huddersfield does.
No, not typically. And Mui had a goal, never played a game in a City shirt, but that was a great investment on the part of City.
Why do you say that?
The City bought him out from Australia and then loaned him to Huddersfield and then sold him to Huddersfield. So they made a little money. Huddersfield made out. It was a win for everybody.
Hmm. There you go.
All right, so let's move on to Chelsea versus Southampton. Just getting the result.
And Chelsea, so this one, I was watching this. This is one of the ones that I had on. And Chelsea didn't really come out with their best lineup. Morata was on the bench.
That's true, yep.
Willian was on the bench. No, Fabregas was on the bench. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then it was like they did get the goal in extra time of the first half with Alonso getting a really nice one. They'd set up the it's probably like 30 yards out. They set it up really well where it looked as though Willian was going to be taking the shot with his right foot coming in. And so what Fraser Forster was all the way on the other side.
Yep.
And then of course, Alonso with his left foot comes in, goes right around the wall. Doesn't even need to go over the wall. It just goes around it.
It was pretty.
And inch perfect to the bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah, I mean, just inside.
And honestly, I thought Forster could have saved it. It looked almost as though he didn't want to, like, dive. It was very weird. His getting over was very labored and slow.
Yeah, it was. It was. But I love a good free kick goal like that. I don't care who scores it. Oh, man, I love that. When you see the technical skill of these players really shine, and that's what it was. I mean, that was beautifully curled around the wall. Now, I will say the guy at the end of the wall jump turned sideways, which I think was a little bit.
It opened it up a little bit.
Yeah, opened it up a little bit. But still, I mean, full credit. That was a heck of a goal.
But what's crazy now is Conte, his team have scored 7 goals directly off of free kicks, which is the most of any team since Conte took over at the beginning of last season. So Alonso has been doing this again and again. And so, you know, really, he's the kind of guy that you need to fear on a free kick with the left foot. So, yeah, I mean, like, Alonso's the guy when it comes to that. But I thought that's a good stat. And I thought that Chelsea looked a lot better once they brought in Fabregas and Morata, like in the last second half. They didn't score again, but overall they were playing better.
Yeah, and they got to figure out the Morata thing. Like, he's been on the bench. There's questions about fitness. We talked about this last week, you know, that he's playing more minutes than he has in previous seasons. You know, that team's obviously more dangerous when he's in the lineup. They got to figure it out. I'm sure Conte will figure it out, but you've got
to manage the player. And I think Conte is doing a pretty good job because he's not playing every game. He's like, okay, when am I going to drop him? I'm going to drop him against Southampton. It's not against
the big
guys. They're getting results even though they're managing the player, which I think is not necessarily the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on to the next game, Brighton versus Burnley. I did it again.
I don't know why you always do that.
Burnley.
That's like, that's your Burnley thing.
I was a loaf. All right. 0-0. I mean, meh.
Yeah. I mean, I think that basically describes that.
Well, I do want to talk about Murray, because Murray had a PK miss in this one. This one, I thought that he was pretty cheeky the way he got the goal, or got the PK. Where I thought he literally, like, he got the ball in the box, and there was a Tarkowski was right behind him for Burnley. And I thought that it looked as though Murray literally just put his legs in between, like one leg in between Tarkowski's, and fell over.
Yeah.
And then they gave him the PK, which I thought was debatable. And then I thought the justice was served when he skies it over the
ball.
Oh, is that
the ball don't lie? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, the ball don't lie. And now Murray has missed three of his last five PKs. I mean,
that's not a good look.
No, exactly. He'd hit his previous two, but clearly he's not a very reliable guy in front of the spot.
Hmm. All right, so Arsenal versus Newcastle. And again, Mark's not here.
This one was another one that I had on TV.
What a goal by Ozil.
Oh, yeah, that was a heck of a strike.
Ozil had...
Mark, if you're listening, we'll take him. We'll take him. United, Manchester, we'll take him.
And you know, the stat that we've been saying again and again all year with Ozil is that he's created more goals or more scoring attempts than anyone other than KDB, and he's only one back on him there. And so, you know, Ozil, he's performing at the highest level that he has in probably the last 3 or 4 years right now, in the last 4 or 5 games, I would say, ever since the Tottenham game. But still, I mean, the thing with Arsenal was that they only scored one goal, and there were plenty of chances that Newcastle had to come back and win, and it was really lucky. And at the end of the game, Benitez said, quote, "I need something in January."
Yep, and he ain't playing. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's vocal,
like,
about it.
Or
now.
I will be leaving. He didn't say it, but that's what he said.
That's the second half of the statement that he just left the pregnant pause.
So what's going on with Arsenal? Where is their project this year? Where are they wanting to go with this?
They're exactly where they want to be. They have a full stadium. They're making money. They want to compete for Champions League.
Yeah, but that's another club without Sandwich Brigade. You know, everybody's season ticket holder.
They might be... I mean, ownership is probably like, it's all good. But the supporters, you know...
Oh, no, they're not happy.
They're not happy.
I mean, I've told stories about my friends that are Arsenal fans that live in London, and they've boycotted the team. They don't even watch the games anymore because they're so... They know that Arsenal are competing for top four. They're not competing for the title.
Right.
And that sucks.
That's not cool. Yeah. No. I mean, as a supporter, that's definitely, especially of a club like Arsenal, you don't want to be in that position.
But Petr Cech, he keeps on doing it. This is 199th clean sheet in the Premier League, including the
Chelsea
games.
That's another
games.
Great stat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Petr Cech looks like an amateur boxer wearing that thing around his face.
He looks ridiculous. And Wilshere, you know what's crazy? This is Wilshere's second start in a row, and the first time he's done that since May of 2015.
Yeah, played the full game. I mean, like, there were literally people calling in to, you know, shows in England that were like, "I'm just glad Jack Wilshere played 2 games in a row and didn't get injured."
But does he realistically get into the team permanently now? I mean, like...
I mean, then, and so in this game, again, he skied one over the net when Giroud, like put it down for him. I mean, this is, again, he's missing sitters. If you're missing sitters, you don't play for Arsenal. You don't play for anyone in the top six. He's doing it again and again.
And yeah,
I say no. He's done.
I mean, when Wenger's your coach, anything is possible.
But is that a positive statement?
No, it's not. No, it's definitely not. So but, I mean, yeah, it's just weird. I think... people have a very strong affinity for Jack Wilshere. I've realized I wasn't aware of this, but like everybody wants him to succeed.
You didn't hear Mark just talk about him all day long.
Well, yeah, I know, but I didn't realize. Like, you know, that's a sample size of one. But like, there's a lot of people that they just want Jack Wilshere to succeed, and I think he'll be given chances. And part of it is like, I don't know what conversations are being had in the dressing room and what training is like. I don't know. You know, I'm not inside Jack Wilshere's head. That probably has something to do with missing some of the chances.
Just the number of injuries that he's had over the years. And anyone can feel for that. You know, I've had injuries over the years. It's not like I'm back playing the very next week, you know. I mean, I tore some ligaments in my ankle. You know?
What were you playing?
Flag football.
All right.
I tore my rotator cuff in my sleep once, actually, but...
How did you do that?
I have no idea.
You were sleeping, obviously.
No, yeah, no
idea.
That must
have been one hell of a dream.
Bad, I guess.
Wow. Okay, well, that's interesting. So Stoke versus West Ham, 3-0 to West Ham. Again, you know, so, getting these results. Stoke are a hard team to beat, especially when you're, you know, they'll be banged for blood if, like, you're, you know.
But I think that's the old mantra. I don't think Stoke are that hard to beat anymore.
Here's my favorite thing about that game. There was a power outage at Stoke. And there's been
oh, yeah, the game was delayed.
The game was delayed. And the jokes were flying fast and furious when people were like, the power is out at Stoke. And it's
that was Andy that said that to us. It's been out for weeks or months.
Yeah,
right?
It was. That's just like the most bizarre thing. They lost in power at the entire stadium. How often does that happen?
Well, I mean, like, for some, we didn't say it earlier, but in the Tottenham game against Brighton, someone forgot to flip one of the switches. So, like, literally only half the lights were on until about 10 minutes before the match. Because those lights, they don't flip on.
Hey, guys, what is that?
It's not like a light in your room. These things take, like, half an hour to warm up. Yeah.
Well, and they were, like I said, people were calling into shows from Stoke saying that after the second goal, the stands emptied. And there were, you know, the supporters were streaming out of the stadium. So, I mean, clearly the base there is very upset.
And as they should.
So what happens there? Do they get rid of their manager? Do they just wait until January?
I mean, who are you going to get to manage you? What are you going to? I mean, it's one
Silva.
Of those things.
No,
but you can't. There's nobody out there right now.
Right.
There's nobody to go get. So I don't know what you would. I think they're going to have to stick with the current
Mark Hughes.
Right. Yeah, with Mark Hughes. But I don't know how you get results.
But his quote at the end of the game said he thought the fan unrest, if you will, was understandable. He, like, agrees with them.
Hey, good on him. I mean, for taking responsibility
for it. That's the equivalent of just shrugging your shoulders and going, yep, they're all right.
But, I mean, I think the thing that I heard, like I said, Stoke fans are, I mean, they're in a bad spot right now. And almost every single one of them said the same thing, that, like, we got to change tactics, we got to do something, and they don't see anything being done, and they just keep getting the same results doing the same thing.
But I think we got to talk about that first goal, though, which was a crazy sequence of events. There was a Shaqiri had, like, a nice cross in on a set piece, short cross, like, hits the post. You're like, oh man, almost a goal for Stoke, and then, of course, what happens? Counterattack the other way.
How often do we see that?
It's again, like a near chance, and then you're going the other direction, and you could argue that there was a foul in there as well, that maybe, I'm sure if you were a Stoke supporter, you were not happy about that, but then in the end, Lanzini goes all the way the other way and gets a penalty kick.
Yeah.
And because, like, it was a really poor tackle, I thought, by Peters. And then Noble, just like, this guy is like an ageless wonder. Honestly, I feel like that's like, if I could embody one player, it's him, because it's like, you know what? I think all of us, if we really had to, we could get like the fitness up to a level of Noble, but from a class perspective, he's a notch below, which is where probably a lot of us are.
I'm at least one.
maybe multiple notches.
Yeah,
in the
exactly.
Right. So it's the kind of guy you can all look at and appreciate.
All right, guys, the time is coming up to 6:40. Join us after the break, and we have David Deaton from Maroon's Cafe in the studio. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. All right, so this is the... Oh.
Where are the jingles?
Wait, no jingle bells?
I was looking for jingles.
Listen, you're just waiting for the inevitable. I'll play the jingles over the top of this game, because this was awesome. This filled me with
Christmas
spirit
joy.
And joy.
So,
Manchester City versus Spurs.
So are you a Man City fan now these days?
You said that, didn't you? I was a Spurs fan during this game. You know what? I was even creating the memos.
But then the goal went in, and he was like...
He's like, I'm a Manchester fan deep down. I can't stop it.
Any other week, if City weren't on top, I probably would be supporting City, because obviously I love Manchester. And, you know, I don't... My hatred is with Liverpool.
No, there you go.
That was the true derby back, even though
it still is. It still is. It's, you know, because there's more history.
I mean,
all due respect
for Liverpool brings us all together.
Yes,
that's what it is.
We love our
Liverpool
listeners, though.
We can all unite there for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So let's.
But we got to talk about this game. I mean,
we have to.
Go ahead, Alex. You go first.
4-1 City. City show. They are a class above. As a Spurs fan, it was really disappointing to see what happened at the end of the game. I thought that the first goal was a gift. It was absolutely ludicrous.
That was crazy.
Gundogan
is
shortest player
standing
on
there with no
the field.
One around him.
Harry Winks is looking around. Dele Alli's looking around. Dyer's looking around. this is the only way I'm actually going to be able to talk about this game is with some jingles. Good Lord, we looked horrible.
That was crazy. If you watch it from the goal up high behind the camera up high behind the goal, literally the cross comes in from the corner and Gundogan is at the top of the box. Like, there's players around him, and all the Spurs players move away from Gundogan, and he's standing there and just doink hits it with his head, and that's it.
And I think this is like the third straight game that Tottenham have had a goal scored against them on the corner right now. This is becoming
really?
A thing for them.
It's becoming a thing at United, too.
Well, so I shouldn't say the last three games. It was the last three goals scored against them because they beat Brighton 2-0. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
They're struggling to defend set pieces from a corner. That's a problem. That's something you've got to clear up because that's how lesser teams beat you. Obviously,
correct.
I'm not saying Man City's a lesser team.
I understand what you're saying.
But I'm
saying
that's
how...
That
becomes a problem.
Exactly. That's going to accumulate in terms of like points lost and dropped, which we saw against Watford and other games because of these kind of headers that they're giving up.
Yep.
Gundogan only gets to start because of some mysterious personal reasons.
Well, apparently Silva's having a child, or he's going to be a dad or something. I think that's why Silva missed the game.
But I don't understand that, because it's not like the baby had come. So
I mean, look,
I worked the day before my kid came. I mean,
I get it. I mean, shout out to him and shout out to Pep for giving him the night off. That's why I thought it was class by De Bruyne when he scores his goal to go to the stands and give the 21. I thought that was really cool.
But, I mean, like, we got to talk about the Spurs and the reckless physical play.
What the heck was that?
That they had, particularly in the second half.
Yeah.
Kane with an absolute shocker tackle that, you know,
I don't think that was as bad as the Dele Alli one, but. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. The Dele Alli went over the ball, which is the definition of a red card.
Yeah.
The ball, like, pops out, and he is still going.
I mean,
and he stamps on KDB's ankle.
Bad.
And honestly, KDB could have broken his leg.
Oh, easily. Yeah, that could have
torn
easily been a broken
ligaments.
Leg. Yeah, that was bad.
But what is KDB? He gets up, a man possessed, and he goes down scores a thunderbolt of a goal.
Oh.
That was, I mean, KDB, if you didn't like him before, you've got to like him after that. His response was the way to do it. He didn't try and fight anyone. He took it out on the team in the right way. Credit to him. He's the best player at the first half of the season, KDB. But then after that, it was calamities everywhere.
Yeah,
particularly
it was. Spurs fell apart.
Eric Dyer, what in the world are you doing? You try and do a back heel.
That was bad.
It didn't end up in anything because Jesus can't score still for
he's struggling right now.
Which is crazy.
And he missed the PK.
Well, that's what came out of it. There was I thought KDB kind of dived on that one.
It was like the one we talked about before. Like, he puts his leg in between the tackling defender's legs and then falls over, and like it looks like a penalty. Was it or not?
Yeah, I mean, we have the benefit of slow motion and 900 angles, and so maybe it wasn't. Obviously, if I saw that live, and I did see it live, I was like, that's clearly a PK. But on
when you saw the replay,
further review,
like, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But anyway, I mean, I think the key is that Manchester City, in the last half hour of that game, because Spurs looked really good, I would say, the first 15 minutes of the second half, it looked like, okay, wow, Spurs are going to get back in this game. They're going to score.
Which is what City lets teams do.
It's inevitable.
Yep.
I thought that the Spurs players were incredibly selfish. There were times when they should have been passing, and they didn't pass. There was one time that Harry Winks took it on himself, and he had Kane right there to score. Son did the same thing. Lamella did it. It was again and again where the players were being selfish, and that's not how you're going to beat a team like City, where they play as one. And we saw that in, what was it, the third goal, which was absolutely magnificent, which Sterling got, and then Sterling got the fourth, which was the gift from Dyer as well.
Yeah, the gift from Dyer, right.
So Dyer played really poorly, I thought.
The third one was that classic, was what City has been doing a lot this season, scoring goals from 3 yards out, where all they have to do is just touch it.
It's
after
basically
8 passes.
Yeah, it's like it's what Arsenal tries to do, but they haven't been, you know, that's
right.
Not, it's what they used to do.
It's what Arsenal does, except Wilshere's at the end of those instead of Sterling.
But Sterling did miss a couple sitters.
He also missed on the PK. Was the one that missed the rebound.
It could have been a much higher score line.
But, I mean,
and then Eriksen gets one at the end, but no one's counting, right?
But right. It didn't really matter. But the thing with Tottenham, they shouldn't go out of this game dispirited, even though they maybe didn't play that great, because the way they should be looking at it is, well, They beat everybody else. We're not an exception here.
So what I thought, that's true. What I thought was interesting is in a lot of these shows, Spurs fans calling in, complaining about the fact that the squad wasn't improved drastically in the offseason. They didn't increase the depth of the squad.
Which is a fair point because you have Champions League.
Right. I mean,
obviously, in England, you would play a double cup thing with the Carling or whatever they call it.
They lose Walker to City, and Walker abused Danny Rose the entire game. And then Trippier, who was, everybody was like, oh, look, City let Trippier go. I mean, he didn't look. I mean, Sané abused him the entire game. So I can understand. And I think for Spurs fans, I think what it was is that Spurs really, like you're saying, Spurs kind of fell apart. There was a portion of the game, they just fell apart.
This was like the Chelsea game a few years ago when they were running for the title, everything was on the line,
yep.
And then things started to go against them, and the physical nature of them came out, and that's exactly what happened in this game.
All right.
It was really disappointing, I thought, overall.
So let's move on to Sunday. Obviously, West Brom versus Man United, and Man United making it difficult for themselves once again. First goal was Lukaku header,
which he did
no celebration,
no celebration again, and then Lingard getting on the score sheet again, and then of course,
which was a gift
your
again,
boy,
Hagazi.
Jesse Lingard, come on,
yeah,
Andy,
I never thought I would say I'd like him. Never, every time he came on, there was always be groans for me. Ugh, here we go.
I know.
He has proven himself. They call him Messi Lingard on some of the online stuff.
Wow.
But then Barry gets, makes it a 2-1, like a scuffy kind of crowded box.
It was like a corner,
that was weird.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. And the ball pings around, and then he's just standing there and kicks it in.
See, the first fixtures of this league, of this season even, Manchester United, Manchester City were going at it. Same type of play, although Manchester United would kind of wear down teams, and then the 70th minute they'd bring in Martial and then just beat the team into the ground. Now it seems they kind of are slow to start, they nick a few goals, and instead of keep going for it, they just sit back. Park the bus. And like there were fans at this game today that were singing, park the bus, Mourinho,
Man United,
park the bus.
Yeah.
And they were Man United fans.
Yeah.
You know.
I want to talk, one thing that's starting to jump out, United's had real problems on corner kicks recently. You know, City scored on a corner, they gave up their goal on a corner, they almost gave up a tying goal today on a corner, but De Gea was over aggressive, misjudged it, the ball went over his head, and I don't remember who was there for United, but had he not been there on the back post, it would have been
Jones.
No, I don't remember. That would have been the game tying goal. United, it's weird. It's exactly what you're saying. They start slow. If they can get a goal, they get a goal. And if they do, they park the bus.
But Rojo almost had a known goal in this game at the end. And there were multiple chances that West Ham had to get a draw.
Bournemouth had the same opportunities and they couldn't do anything with them.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, if I'm a United fan, I'm happy with the results.
But
I'm not pleased with the way they're playing.
Right. And it's
a good way of describing
it. Especially with having Chelsea chasing our tails right now, it's like I just feel that we're going to slip up at any moment. The last 5 minutes of watching a United game, even when we're 2-1 up, I almost have to turn the TV off and be like, you know what? I'm just going to turn the TV off. Turn the TV off, come back on, see Rebecca Lowe's face and be like, oh, okay, we're still 2-1.
I will say that 2-0 is the most dangerous lead in sports.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. I hate it when my team is up 2-0 because every team tends to relax
a little bit.
Yeah,
and then they get taken off guard and then
the other team are
back in it.
Exactly. Then you let a team get 2-1 and all of a sudden they have momentum and it can lead to problems. I mean, United was able to escape, but it's weird that we're saying United kind of escaped West Brom.
Right, but we've said that before. Like the Bournemouth game wasn't very convincing either.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, you were lamenting on the text message about, we deserve to lose this game, and they're playing terrible. And I was like, calm down, man, they're up. You're good.
But you know what's crazy? So Barry got that goal. That was his first goal scored as a substitute since April of 1999.
What? That dude is like a million years old. Isn't he?
Isn't
Gareth Bale?
That's
like
when I graduated high school. I mean, that's how...
Yeah, I graduated in 98, yeah.
Don't forget, guys, you're tuning in to Blokes on the Bench. We're on until 7:30 doing a special show. Up next, after our last game, we have David Deaton from Aroma's Cafe. Got some news for us. Don't forget to check out our Twitter page, BOTB Soccer. We've got two polls running. Are Manchester City so far out that the title race is over.
This is unanimous now. 100%
say yes. 100%. And then can Manchester City continue on their unbeaten form, meaning, you know, will they, can they go through the season without losing a game in terms of the Premier League and not Champions League?
Right.
And yes, it's actually, it was 50-50 and now it's 75-25 in favor of yes. So, and don't forget we are
I want to hear what Daniel has to say to that one. Do you think they can go through all season?
I don't know. I mean, it's something that it's hard to even conceive of. It's hard to even conceive of. I don't know if they can or not. They're playing it down, which I think is what you expect them to do. I mean, there's obviously a chance. Every time I think, well, here we go, they pull one out. So right. I don't know.
Exactly. So let's move on to the last game, Bournemouth versus Liverpool, 4-0 to Liverpool. And yeah, Liverpool just look like...
Liverpool. Like,
Lovren.
They look like Liverpool. They look amazing until they don't. You know, this is the thing about Liverpool that no one can comprehend. It's that they look so good, and then they don't. And we saw what they could be as when they don't look good, which was in the midweek.
Yep.
And then they come around, and then they score 4 goals, and they look as good as they ever have been, and they get all 3 points.
Yeah, it was a great game, though. I mean,
yeah, and Salah back on the score sheet again.
I would love to know, like, what everyone's opinion on who the best midfielder is at the minute. Is it De Bruyne? Is it Salah? Is it Mane? Is it Sané?
I mean, I think it probably depends on...
It depends on where you slot people, I think.
Yeah. Or who you support.
Because
yeah.
I don't know if I consider Salah a midfielder.
That's the thing. He might...
He plays more like wing. So like
right,
I would,
exactly.
Like,
he's a
so
winger,
maybe,
really.
So maybe if it's like a 4-4-2, he's a winger. But he's,
yeah, he's
but
a midfielder in a 4-4-2.
But he's
yeah.
playing in a 4-3-3, so he's playing forward. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but KDB is the best player in the Premier League right now. Anyone that says otherwise, I'd love to have a nice debate with them about.
Yeah, he's playing at a totally different level. I mean, even Pep was like, I have no words to describe him.
All right, guys. So we have a very special guest today. David Deaton from Aromas Cafe is with us.
Yeah, thank you guys very much.
So you were with us last season, and you were refresh our memory about the club, the history, and what your club stands for in Charlesville, especially what's going on during the summer and everything else.
Yeah.
So just fill us in, like the owner of Aronis, what he did with the club and started it and what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, let me just say thank you guys very much. It's a true treat and an honor to be here with you guys. You know, we're trying to do something similar that you guys are doing, which is, you know, create a community, you know, create something bigger than just the game itself, to bring people together. And that's kind of what we're really all about. You know, what you asked a little bit about the team, we kind of got our rhythm going in about 2005. We actually won a state amateur tournament, and then from there we went and joined the Open Cup and had a really successful run. And what we realized out of that is that the team can be good, but with the community and fans and everything else, you know, commentators and radio shows and everything else that goes into it, that's what really makes it special. And we started to realize that the game and what we're trying to do is all about being united by soccer. That's kind of a hashtag that we have, hashtag United by Soccer. We try to get that out there as much as possible. We recognize that through our diversity of team members, you know, one reporter said our roster reads like the UN roll call. You know, we've got players from Croatia, Mexico, Germany, and also right here from Charlottesville. And what the players realized, what we realized, everybody involved realized, is that you know, diversity actually makes people stronger. You know, being diverse and bringing that together is really special. Mm. And so what we've been doing since then is just involved with a lot of outreach, trying to demonstrate that mission in the community. And now we're looking to have a bigger platform for that with the MPSL.
Right. And we'll get to that in a second. But the story of your owner.
Oh, yeah.
Explain that a bit, because that's fascinating in itself.
Absolutely. So Hassan, who owns Aromas Cafe, you know, he is an orphaned immigrant from Morocco. And he will tell you, as he's told to the press as well, that, you know, soccer saved his life. I think that, you know, with all the challenges in his life, he turned to soccer as a place where he could put a positive outlet to his frustrations. And his practice every day, his commitment to that, it earned him an opportunity to come to the United States. Actually, I think by way of Canada, he came to play soccer. And now he's an incredibly successful entrepreneur right here in Charlottesville, as well as a very successful community citizen with the outreach that he does in his own right. And he's that story, an orphaned immigrant who, through the sport, through the power of what it brings together, he made good. And he is, as much as anybody, looking to help us try to achieve more with the game.
All right, awesome. You were saying about the league that you're about to move into, right?
Yeah.
Have you got any more news on that? Because we've been obviously talking back and forward. Is there anything on the development? Is it moving forward?
Well, I think the best way to say it is we're very much still in the bid process.
Right.
Stay tuned very soon. I think we'll be able to leverage even some of the news here coming up in the next few weeks about the progress that we've had. We've been positively encouraged by the league. We've put all of our information together, and I think it's just some administrative details now, and just watch this space, as they say.
So, I mean, in terms of the league, how many teams would you be competing with?
Yeah, so one of the things that drew us to NPSL is twofold. One is it's a national league of about 100 teams or more. So that really gives us an opportunity to raise the caliber and the platform for what we stand for our mission, to build a community asset and to do something bigger with the game. So, that's one draw, the fact that it has such a high esteemed national reputation. The second is that it's a membership-based organization owned by the teams themselves. So as a membership organization, they want you to express your personality versus a franchise where they just want you to sort of follow a playbook and do exactly what's happening at a corporate headquarters. They really want that sort of personality of amateur sports and what you stand for to come through. And for us, that's obviously what we're trying to accomplish as well. So it's very attractive.
Awesome. All right, guys, we'll be right back. I've got some more questions for you, David. Stay with us. All right, we'll be back. All right. Well, thanks for the end of that there, Daniel. You have a question, Daniel?
Yes. Yeah, so the American soccer pyramid is difficult for people to understand.
Wait, is there a pyramid, though?
I mean, technically there is. I don't know. I don't know if I'd call the shape of it an actual pyramid. But so you're looking at the NPSL. There's a team in Charlottesville that's in the UPSL. How I don't understand where these fit. I don't understand how this all fits. I want a Charlottesville derby, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Charlottesville derby.
No, we very much look forward to that that derby as well. We'd like to do a community shield, actually, and bring in some of the...
Oh, see, that would be fabulous.
Yeah, we'd like to bring in some of the teams from SoCA, maybe the winning team out of the adult league there.
The Premier League is no joke. I've played in that before. It's tough.
Yeah, well, a lot of the guys that helped us make that Open Cup run came from that league. So, it's definitely a lot of quality there. It's dispersed amongst a few teams to keep it competitive, in the week in and week out. But you can concentrate some players. They can do something. So, we'd love to. I think 2018, next summer, is going to be just a rich time for soccer in Charlottesville. You've got CCL, you've got UPSL, you've got us, and you take a team from SoCA, and you've got four teams right there to do a community shield.
But go back to the pyramid conversation.
Yeah.
Like, where do you kind of, where are you in the land of soccer?
So, NPSL is is the top division amateur league. So
the top division of the fourth tier, technically?
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Exactly. What really makes it confusing is there's really no proper Division III. So,
right.
There's Division I, which might be MLS. There's Division II, which might be like USL or something like
that. It's like the Richmond Kickers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
And then you get to Division III, and there's nothing really there. But that is because they're pro ranks. So they're paying players. It's a different sort of business model. And you start to get to the amateur divisions and NPSL. It's one of the best as far as competitive goes, one of the best reputationally. So we're pleased to be in consideration for that.
So you said there's 100-plus teams in the league. Is there playoffs at the end? How do you determine ultimate winner?
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll be in the Mid-Atlantic Conference if everything goes well. And they have their own playoff structure. And then we go into, there's four regions throughout the United States. So the Northeast region is what we fall into. We would participate in a regional playoff. And then from there, it goes to sort of the national playoff as well.
And is the national playoff, is that in a neutral site? Is that in, like, how would that go?
Yeah, so the way that it's structured is because it's two weekends in a row, and they definitely would like to have a team that's in the hunt be one of the hosting teams. So you have to have certain venue specifications that can be able to host such a game. And then they try to let one of the teams that are in the finals be one of the hosting teams.
So one day, if Aromas would eventually get in this league, Charlottesville could host that.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I do want to say that, you know, for us, being part of the game at a higher level is even, you know, as we've said, you know, not just about the community and what we do on the pitch, but also about building infrastructure in the area. So we've already started dialogues with the city and county about how we can raise the infrastructure levels for soccer
oh, nice.
So that we
that's
can promote
good.
The game.
Yeah, see, that's something I think that would be fabulous here in Charlotte. That was what I was going to ask. Where do you guys play?
Yeah, so we currently play all over, and we've got a provisional agreement set up right now and with one of the pitches that are right in the heart of the city. Don't want to necessarily...
cool. Keep it under wraps. It's cool.
Watch your space.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good promotion.
No, I know. So we're excited at those conversations, but do you want to finalize those details up before that gets out?
Okay. Quick question. The name. It's Charlottesville Alliance, right?
That's right.
Where did the name come from? Explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so Hassan is great. Aromas Cafe FC, which we've built a lot of brand and a lot of community building around, and that's still going to be present because we're incorporated as a nonprofit under that structure. But we also realized that to truly be a community team and to bring the community in, that we needed to change the name in order to reflect that. And so Hassan actually led that effort and wanted us to do that, which is a testament to his character, the quality of his character. And so we actually went to both a Facebook and a Twitter campaign to get some names. We wanted to...
I voted.
Yeah. We wanted to bring... Thank you. We wanted to bring something in that, you know, kind of brought in the community a little bit more. Alliance was suggested, and everybody really liked it.
All right. So, you know, obviously, it's tentative. It's building momentum.
Yeah.
Is there a time frame that people should be looking out for any announcements? Are we looking at New Year?
I'd say before the New Year. We hope to, yeah, before the New Year.
A little smile
Merry
on your
Christmas.
Face.
Yeah, Santa's going to come early, huh? Yeah.
Breaking news on Blokes on the Bench.
Yeah, we definitely hope.
Santa exists.
Absolutely. So we hope to give a little Christmas gift to everybody that way. And we'll just do all that we can to get that information out there as fast as we can.
Yeah, I actually, y'all made another great run in the U.S. Open Cup this last season, and I really wanted to go to the game in Richmond, and then couldn't, I had work stuff come up. But I mean, Aromas has really represented the area in an excellent way.
Thank you.
Which, you know, I really appreciate, because I'm a big grassroots soccer supporter. Like, I think it's great to have teams like Aromas in your community doing things, not only playing the sport, but also bringing the community
right,
together.
Right.
Yeah, let me, you know, we tend not to boast too much. We try to do it through action. But at the same time, let me just hit a couple of highlights of things that your listeners might not be aware of. We've recently been playing in the youth detention center here in town. So we'll take a couple of guys and...
Nice.
Go into, you know, a youth prison, youth detention center, and it's as humbling for us as anything else that we could participate in. It's a true honor to have such an experience. We go into in-need communities all throughout town, and we do free clinics. The winter's a little tough, so we're not active right now, but throughout the spring, fall, and summer, we're there on a weekly basis trying to make our presence.
I remember looking at your Twitter not too long ago, and I saw that you put up some nets downtown.
We did. Yeah, you know, and it's not just us. We should thank everybody in the community that helped donate. We had a campaign. We raised over $3,000. From there, we were able to install some really nice goals at Friendship Court.
And I walked by there just the other day, and I saw some kids playing there, and it just brought a smile to my face seeing that.
Right. Mine too.
So if people want to get in the know. If people want to start following you, what is the Twitter page?
Yeah, follow us at Twitter, at Aromas Cafe FC, and that'll be the space to watch. We'll put all our official announcements through Twitter.
Now, is that name going to change eventually to, I mean, the name changes?
Absolutely.
Is that going to come with the official announcement or?
Yep, that's where we'll do the official name change, and we'll be known as Charlottesville Alliance FC, and we'll have a new Twitter handle, Facebook, Instagram, everything. But this is the Twitter feed to watch until then, at Aromas Cafe FC.
At Aromas Cafe FC.
Go show them some love, everybody.
Yes, yes, yes. Awesome.
So what would be your expectations in the first year?
Just to build a positive community vibe. That's our expectation.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Please do keep us up to date. Obviously,
you're
welcome in anytime. We'll obviously build a relationship with you guys on the show as well. So
yeah, I look forward to it.
Getting some support out there. Just to let everyone know, thank you very much for listening. We are off for the next, at least Christmas, so cause obviously Christmas Eve.
We'll
be back.
Santa is more important than this, unfortunately. We'll be watching all the games. We would love to be here, but
yeah, y'all need to go enjoy your families. You don't need to listen to us.
Blah blah blah. Looks on the bench. All right, so have a happy Christmas, guys. Have a wonderful New Year as well. We will see you the first weekend back in January. So,
Merry Christmas, Alex.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. This is Daniel.
This is David. Merry Christmas to everybody, and thank you guys for having me on.
All right, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition, and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.